There was a reality TV show a few years back called The Summit, where a group of people were given the challenge of climbing to the top of a mountain, obviously the summit, in the hopes of winning some money. And they had a set time frame in which to achieve this goal. Of course, with any good show, there were challenges and eliminations along the way to whittle down the number of contestants. And, you know, they endured extreme conditions like the terrain, the cold, the snow, the altitude. And not only that, because they were all vying for the top position, groups and alliances formed, and strong personalities and people who struggled with the challenges or the terrain could potentially then become targets to be eliminated. I don't know how much they would have prepared, but they certainly needed a certain level of fitness and mental strength. Because a summit typically refers to the highest peak, the highest point, like the mountain they were trying to reach. So I know that they needed determination and strength. And you know, in some ways, our Christian journey is similar. We all go through mountaintop experiences. We go through valleys. We go through wilderness seasons and everything in between. There'll be times where we're like, oh, everything is great. I know I'm going well. But then there are times where we're left scratching our head. God, what are you doing? But through it all, there is one constant. God is with us every step of the way. Just think of Moses on the mountain in Exodus 19. This was one of the incredible mountaintop experiences that he had in his life. God called him to the top, spoke to him so clearly, he experienced his presence like never before, and God showed him how he was going to lead the children of Israel. If you think of David, as he describes his experience in Psalm 23, verse 4, it says this, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." Even in the darkest valley, God, you are constantly with me. I know I can trust and rely on you. And who can forget Caleb, who experienced being in the wilderness and after those 40 years was able to say with such confidence to Joshua in 14:11-12, "And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength, was for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day." What confidence after 40 years of being in the wilderness to say my strength is the same as it was 40 years ago. Even in the darkest valley, God, you are with me. Even on the mountaintop, God, you are our constant. You are our source. Lord God, we can trust you that you have got us every step of the way. He was providing strength, he was providing protection, and he was providing guidance. And as I was thinking about the summit next week, I realised that there were some differences between the TV show and what we're about to do, and thank goodness for that. On the show, people compete against each other to reach the top so they can win the money. But you know, in the kingdom of God, we don't compete with each other. In fact, we champion each other. The good news is that we're not striving for a prize that only one person can get. Because of the blood of Jesus, each one of us doesn't have to do anything except accept Jesus because of the grace that was shown to us. We're not trying to get ahead of others or eliminate people so they can't hear what God is saying. Instead, we are encouraging one another on the journey that God has for us. If someone is struggling, we can help them along the way. When someone is rejoicing, we can rejoice. If someone has a need, we can come alongside them. We encourage each other. We pray for one another and we listen and support one another. We are a people who are putting aside time to hear God and to listen to the men of God who will be encouraging us and challenging us to go further in the things of God. We all have the opportunity to hear, learn, and lean into what God wants to say and do. Because he does have something to say, something significant and something relevant. As we prepare for the summit, I want to encourage you to ask yourself this question. What is God wanting us to hear? You know, that brings us to the story of Elijah. In 1 Kings 17, there is an account in which Elijah, the prophet, the man of God, under God's instructions, says that there'll be no rain in the land for a certain period of time. And because of Ahab's disobedience, who was the king of Israel. You know, and there was no rain for 3.5 years. They were experiencing drought. And then after that 3.5 years where there's been no rain, it says this in 1 Kings 18 verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, go present yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the earth. Elijah and the people had just witnessed God do an amazing thing, showing them that he is the one true God. They could not deny this truth. Then Elijah says these words in 1 Kings 18, 41 to 46. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now. Look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And 7 times he said, go again. Then it came to pass on the 7th time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. What sound was Elijah hearing? And what does that mean for us today? Elijah heard the sound of rain, but it wasn't just a pitter-patter. He heard the sound of an abundance of rain. You know, how could Elijah declare rain when there was no cloud in sight? How could he hear the sound of abundance when there was no physical evidence? There'd been nothing for 3.5 years. And here is this man, and in the New Testament it describes him, he was just a man like you and I. He was no different. But yet he was able to stand up with confidence and declare to the king, there is the sound of the abundance of rain. There are no clouds in the sky. There is no heaviness in the air. There's no humidity. There is nothing. There's been nothing for 3.5 years, but I stand in confidence before you right now and declare there is the sound of the abundance of rain. How could he say this with such confidence? Because God had spoken to him and he knew it to be true. He believed what God was saying. He wouldn't have told King Ahab to go eat and drink if he didn't believe it. God had spoken and Elijah knew it to be true. You know, in the natural, we hear many sounds every day. Who here has been asleep at night and there's an annoying sound that wakes you up and it's called a mosquito? Oh, Murray never hears it, but I always do. Oh, it's just an annoying sound. I don't know if anyone else agrees with me, but that's just my thoughts on the matter. Thank you, Lord, for mosquitoes. But there's so many sounds that we hear, you know, the sounds of our phones, the TV going, our radios, maybe trucks driving past your house. You know, even silence has a sound. There are many sounds around us. So picture the scene. I've got home from work. I just want to veg out and zone out and relax in front of the TV. Then that beautiful man called Murray comes and sits down next to me. He starts opening up his phone. He starts scrolling and he starts listening to things. And it's so loud that I no longer can hear what I'm trying to zone out to. So I just say, ever gently, ever calmly, ever with love and grace in my heart, oh please, beloved husband, may you turn down your phone because I was here first and I want to hear my program before you cook tea. Amen. Did everyone hear that? Amen. You know, sometimes life can be like that. There are lots of sounds competing for our attention. And some of those sounds can even change the atmosphere. But the sound of the abundance of rain is altogether different. Despite all the other noises around him, Elijah heard the sound of God's promise. And not only did he hear it, he also declared it. And right now I just sense that the Holy Spirit is right now speaking into hearts. He is speaking his truth into your life because he wants you to have the strength, the courage, and the trust that you can declare what he has said to you. As we prepare our hearts for the summit and what God wants to do, I believe there are two things we can learn from Elijah. The first one is we can declare what God has said. God spoke to Elijah in 1 Kings 18:1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, go present yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the earth. Elijah had a word from God, and when he declared this truth, he spoke it with faith and expectation. What is it that you need to hear? What has God been speaking to you about? And what have you been believing for? Do you need to hear truth? Truth from God's word about a situation. Truth from God's word about a relationship. Who can we ask? The Holy Spirit. It says in John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you need to hear direction and guidance today? Proverbs 3:5-6 reminds us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do you need to hear challenge in a good way? You know, with fitness, when you reach certain milestones, you need to challenge yourself so that you can go further. You need to maybe increase your weights. You may need to increase your running time, or you may need to include strengthening. Did you notice how I said the word we? Thank you, Renu. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you need to hear breakthrough today? It says says in Psalm 91 verses 3 to 4, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Do you need to hear answers? Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Do you need healing? Exodus 15:26 reveals God as our healer. Psalm 102, 2-3 says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. What is the sound that you need to hear today? Could it be those things mentioned, or is there something else that you've been crying out to God to hear? Just as Elijah received a word from God before the rain came, perhaps God wants to speak something fresh into your life before we gather before the summit. Not a hyper faith way, but simply asking God, what do you want to reveal to us as Reside Church, to us as individuals and to our families? What can we declare in faith over the next week? Is there something that we need to do? Is there something that we need to action? Lord, stir our hearts to declare what you are saying with faith and expectation and with power and authority. I hear the sound of, and it wasn't just rain, it was the abundance of rain. When Elijah declared this truth, he expected rain to come. The second thing we can learn from Elijah is to position ourselves to hear. It's easy to get distracted with the business of the week, our family, our work responsibilities and everything else that comes in. But can I encourage you to prepare now? Set time aside to pray. Set time aside to talk to God. Set time aside just to read your word. I'm not talking about hours every day. But it's good to prepare our hearts now for what God wants to do. And what posture do we take? Is it a posture of eating and drinking like King Ahab? Is it a posture of prayer like Elijah? Or is it a posture of looking and expecting? Because that was the posture of the person that was Elijah's assistant. Ask God, what posture do you want me to take in faith? Elijah prepared. In the lead up to this moment, he had spent time with God. Elijah declared that he heard the sound of the abundance of rain. Elijah positioned himself and prayed. Elijah persisted. Even when there was no evidence, he kept believing. When there was no cloud, he kept praying. When the servant came back saying, there is nothing, Elijah said, go again. This is a man who's persistent because he's heard from God. Elijah expected God to move. And then Elijah experienced the supernatural power of God. The rain came and God's promise was fulfilled. As we approach the summit next week, my prayer is that we would come prepared, postured, expectant and ready to hear from God. Not distracted, not passive, not simply attending, but ready to hear the voice of God. Because if God can send rain after 3.5 years of drought, he can certainly speak into your lives, into your situations, into your families. So what sound do you need to hear today? What does God want to say to you? Because he is here. And he wants to speak to you. If you're saying, God, I just need some encouragement. I've experienced this time of wilderness. I've experienced this valley. God, I need to hear your sound of encouragement. Well, it's here for you today. That leads us to this declaration as we approach the summit. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Just as generations before us have ascended to the mountain to seek God, just as Elijah met with God on the mountain, we come with willing hearts, ready to seek him and find him. If I can just get you to stand in this place. When God speaks to us, let our response be, we are here to seek you with all our hearts. We are here to hear your voice, and we are here to meet with you. Speak to us, Lord, because we are willing and open. If you feel comfortable to close your eyes and lift your hands, right now I just declare over every person in this place. I declare over every family. I declare over Reside Church that God, you are speaking to us now. There are sounds that you are wanting us to hear. Maybe sounds for the first time, but God, you are in this place. You are speaking to hearts. And Lord God, we are just saying we are willing, we are open, because we are seeking your face. Because there's no other name but the name of Jesus. And Lord God, like Elijah just wrapped his face in his mantle to block out other sounds, God, we just do that right now. We block out every other sound, every other distraction, every other circumstance that comes against your name. And we declare right now that we hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Lord God, we declare it with strength. We declare it with confidence because it's who you are. And Lord God, we just posture ourselves right now to seek your face. Leading up to this summit, Lord God, to seek your face. Amen. If you don't know Jesus this morning, it says in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I don't want to miss this opportunity. If there's someone that doesn't know Jesus, the one true God, the name above every name, then I'm just going to get us to pray this prayer. And I'd love for you to pray this prayer after us. Dear Jesus, please come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I declare that you are Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, and I choose to follow you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.